And we're in the book of Romans, chapter 15. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Reuben will get you a Bible. It's good to track along as we carry on going through Scripture, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And so Romans chapter 15, and we'll pick up in verse 14 from where we left off last week. And I will pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have seen fit to provide reconciliation to yourself for us through your Son Jesus, his shed blood, raising him from the dead. And we are saved not by earning your favor, but by your grace, by the work of Jesus. It's a gift. We thank you. Lord, I pray that we would have and continue to have a response of love for you and obedience to you. And we thank you so much for your tremendous love for us. And I pray your Spirit would help us as we dig into your word, that we would understand it and be able to apply it to our lives. And we pray this for the children as well downstairs, that they would hear your truth, that it would really settle in their hearts and their minds, and that they would have a faith in you. And Lord, help us to have a more childlike faith. We can complicate things, that we're called to trust in you. So we ask your blessing on this time, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are coming towards the end of the book of Romans, one more chapter. We'll finish off chapter 15 this morning, and then next week, hopefully, we'll both finish chapter 16 and do a bit of a review of what, at least some of the things, the key things we've discovered along the way in our journey through the book of Romans. And, of course, foundational to this book, or central in the message and foundational to our faith, is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. And that we access this, we receive this through faith, or trust in God, trust in Jesus. And so we are free from being in bondage or slaves to sin, or, you know, laboring under the law and these kinds of things. We are free. The greatest debt that we owe, or owed, or any person owes, is the debt of sin in God's court. And so that is paid as we have faith in Jesus, who paid the price for sin. And so, you know, one of the things that has been such a reminder to me going through the book of Romans is we are so blessed. We have the grace of God. We are set free. And then, you know, how do we live in that freedom? Well, we do it by faith, and it's step by step. Now, as we get into the rest of chapter 15 this morning, the letter is starting to wrap up. We'll see, as Paul begins to wrap things up, we'll see some of the characteristics of Paul's life and ministry in our text this morning. You know, how he lived, you know, things that were important in how he lived and how he ministered or served, really. how he served God, how he interacted with people. And so I hope this will be an encouragement to us as we are called to serve. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are servants of God as his followers, as disciples. These are things we're called to. So let's get into our text. Verse 14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. And actually, before diving into this verse, we closed last week with, you know, Paul emphasizing that, you know, this, the gospel is not just for the Israelite, for the Jew, but it includes the Gentile, the non-Jew. And he quoted a bunch of scripture from the Old Testament. And verse 13 is, I have to read it because it's a great verse, the one we ended off with last week. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Which, I love that verse and what it's saying. The God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. You may abound in hope. It is an awesome thing to have hope. It is not a great thing to not have hope. It's a terrible place to be extended time of zero hope. So it's important we understand that our God is a God of hope. And this is offered to us. It's a place we are supposed to live in. Understand, there's seasons, there's trials. It can be challenging. There's passages we know, count it joy. It's hard, but we are called to it. It is God's word. So even in the trials, we are to count that which is joy in them. God is doing a work as we seek him. We will come out the other side matured. And we can have hope, not necessarily in circumstances, but certainly in him, in our Lord. And so, with that in mind, we get to 14 and 15, and where Paul says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are filled with goodness, filled with knowledge, able to admonish one another. And then 15, he says that, nevertheless, I have written more boldly to you on some points. So Paul recognizes, okay, and remember, Paul hadn't been to Rome. We'll see, he had a strong desire to go to Rome, but he hadn't been there. He did not start this particular church, the church in Rome. But he's confident that they do have some understanding, full of goodness, filled with knowledge. You know, that they're not immature, or at least there is maturity within the group, the church there. And even that, he says also, you're able to admonish one another. So, able to give correction or direction, or I would say, looking at this, admonish. They knew the word and they were capable of applying it to their lives and capable of helping each other apply it to their lives. And that's something that should happen within, you know, a body of believers. You know, a Christian fellowship, I mean, part of that includes, really, I like to call it walking alongside each other, and we go through different things at different times, And hopefully, we grow to be those who, as we walk alongside each other, we have, it's like the picture of having an open Bible in our hands, and the target of, or the vision of being disciples and helping others be disciples, that is, followers of Jesus. And then it's, how can we help each other? How can we open, how or when can we open God's Word and discover His truth, His instruction to us, and help each other live it? It's one thing to hear it and talk about it. It's another to, okay, how do I apply this? You know, how can I help someone else also apply this? And that is, and I don't mean making someone or, you know, yelling at them till they do it. It's more, you know, so if I were to say, let's say to Matt, you know, I would like to read my Bible every day, but I'm struggling with that. He could help me by saying, well, would it help if I checked up on you? Or do you want to send me a message after you read your Bible? And I would say, yeah, that could help me do that. And that's someone coming alongside me to help me apply what the Lord is clearly telling me to do, kind of idea. And that can apply in so many different ways as we walk through life. It's an awesome thing to walk as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, with others along with us. And that's what it is to be in the body of Christ. We are family. We're not racing against each other. It's referred to as a race, but we're not competing against each other. Okay, so Paul says, you know, I'm aware, I'm confident, you've got goodness and knowledge, and you're able to admonish. Nevertheless, I've written more boldly to you on some points. So we see some of the reasoning Paul had to write this letter in the first place. And we've seen it from chapter 1 on. He's emphasized certain points very clearly, systematically, throughout this letter. He says, I've written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. And this is an important point to note, is that reminders are a good thing. It is good to be reminded of what God's Word says, and not get to a place where we're going, I know it, yeah, I know all that. Like, I've read the Bible, I know it. 2 Peter, I'm going to turn there, chapter 1, verse 12. And I won't read the whole passage, but in 2 Peter 1, Peter talks about the promises of God, His great and precious promises. Starting in verse 5, he's talking about adding to your faith. So add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, and all self-control, and goes through a list, which is describing growth. And so it's a passage talking about, you know, be diligent to be growing in your faith, in your walk with the Lord. And then verse 12, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And there's other passages, not like the one we're in Romans, that indicate that same thing. It's good to be reminded of what God's Word is. It's good to be reminded of what God has done, both what we see in His Word and what He has done even in our lives and others people's lives. Very easy to get caught up in kind of the moment, kind of thing, what's happening in our circle, which might be quite tight at times, or small. But be reminded of the Word. Be reminded of God, His faithfulness, His grace. We need instruction from the Lord. We need encouragement. Therefore, we also need to encourage others, I believe, from God's Word, from what God has done in our lives. And one thing I see in the book of Romans, and it really rings true for my own life, is grace is emphasized. That'd be one of the points that Paul has made very clear. Grace. God has given us His grace through Christ, His favor. His grace is abundant. The fact that we can have hope, that we are saved, that we can have peace in hard things from the Lord, these are all examples of the grace of God. At the end of verse 15, Paul says, I remind you because of the grace given to me by God. God is very gracious with Paul. Remember him when he was still called Saul, persecuting the church. God was gracious to him. And really, Paul had a ministry of grace, sharing the good news with others. All right, 16. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So we see Paul here talking about being a minister of Jesus, that I might be a minister of Jesus or Christ, specifically to the Gentiles. Paul, we know, had a heart for his people, but his primary ministry was to the Gentiles. And as a minister, so Paul was a minister of the gospel, and I think, at least in our day and age, that might, we think minister, it might misrepresent a little bit. A minister isn't someone who stands like where I'm standing. A minister is a servant. So a servant who ministers to someone else. So think servant of Christ. Think someone who shares the gospel, who comes alongside others and helps them, with a focus on Christ. And so Paul, his primary ministry, or the people he served primarily, were the Gentiles. Even though he had such a heart for his people, God called him to go out. And so he did. And as Paul was obedient, many of the Gentiles would be saved, also sanctified, not by Paul, not by Paul the servant, but by the Holy Spirit, as Paul, the faithful servant, did what the Lord directed him to do. And I think this is a great example for us. As the Lord directs us, and as we start to be sensitive, understand how the Lord is directing us, even if it's one really small step at a time, as we are obedient to Him, it is our privilege to obey Him and serve as He directs. The Holy Spirit will do the actual work. We cannot save anyone. We cannot sanctify anyone or make anyone holy or set them apart. That's the Holy Spirit's role. But with Paul, we see that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, was the main thing. And that's where the power came from. 17, therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. So Paul gloried in Christ, in the things that pertain to God. So those things that were important to God were important to Paul. And so we see this in other things in our passage about Paul that are such good examples to us. I get the picture that Paul got excited about the things that excited or were important to the Lord. He said he gloried in these things. And gloried, there's the idea of boasting or even taking pride in when it's directed to the Lord or about the things of the Lord. This is in a good sense. So he didn't boast or take pride in his strength, his effort, his accomplishments. And remember, he was a guy who at one point in his life had a lot of accomplishments that were, let's say, you know, he drove the accomplishments. They would have been credited to him. His keeping of the law, his studies, his zeal. But now, what does he boast in? The things of the Lord. Not self-centered. That's what we're seeing. Christ-centered. And this is, and it's not like it's a step in the disciple's life, like the single step to go from self-centered to Christ-centered. I think it's a lot of small steps and steps backwards and that kind of thing. But the move from being, even as Christians, being primarily self-centered to being primarily or completely Christ-centered, that's a, well, there's a big step there. But this is something that's to be happening as we grow, is to drop more and more of our selfishness. And it's, well, I have ideas of what should be done, Lord, but what is your desire? What is your will for the situation? So Paul got excited about what God was doing, about how the Holy Spirit was moving. Key point with him, he served God and he lived for God's glory. And so that's a question for us. How committed are we to serving God and seeing him glorified? What things fall into glorifying God and what things fall into glorifying myself? It's a good thing to take to the Lord in prayer. The Holy Spirit will help us sort these things out. Before moving on from these verses, 18. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. So, Paul, we see, it was important to him that what he shared, he also lived. He shared from what the Lord had done in his own life, what he knew to be true. So in word and in deed, he spoke the word. Speak the gospel. Paul's central message was Christ and him crucified and him raised. Faith, not works. So speak the gospel to people. And he shared from what he had lived. example, we see grace referenced over and over. As Paul had experienced grace, it wasn't just truth from God's word. It was also, along with that, it was truth experienced from God in his life. And so he emphasized that with others. Verse 19. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So Paul covered a lot of territory preaching the gospel. And just think about it, no airplanes, no cars, no, like, travel was hard. I mean, shipwrecks, robbers, not to mention the prisons and other stops like that along the way. So he covered a lot of territory, but it was not, he didn't just zip around. It was tough slugging. But he did what the Lord asked him to do to the best of his ability, I believe. There was not a lot in it for Paul and those with him. There were others ministering with him. So the example for us again, what is the Lord asking us to do, and are we doing it? When it comes to the Spirit, he says the signs and wonders and power of the Spirit were evident, very evident at times. As Paul preached the gospel, it's not something Paul could control. It's not something we can control. We don't control the Holy Spirit. But God worked in and through Paul. Paul is a submitted servant. So the power, and this is important to note, the power did not come because Paul the Apostle was like such an amazing, amazing man. We can look and go, he was in many ways, man of faith. But it's the power of God. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And that passage is talking about impossible things. How does the impossible get done? It's not might or power, not for the Christian, not for God's people. It's the power of God, his Spirit. And specifically, I believe if we want to see the wonders, the power of the Spirit, share the gospel. We see that in Scripture. The Spirit moving powerfully when the gospel is going out. So, pray for a move of the Spirit in the salvation of people, and pray for opportunities to participate in the spreading of the good news and see what happens. So, a question, whatever we're doing in life as a Christian, by whose power are we doing this? Am I slipping into effort, my effort? Or am I relying on God's resources? Am I praying for this Holy Spirit to be working? And it's such a, and I think of Paul and his, he doesn't boast except the things of Christ. It is so exciting to see even a little thing. It doesn't have to be the, you know, some like miracle we never could believe ever could happen. But even when we see something where we go, God did that. God's Spirit moved and this happened. It's such an exciting thing to witness. And often it might be in someone else's life just seeing, you know, someone set free from bondage or various different things. It's so exciting to see the Spirit of God move. So much more exciting than us acquiring the next shiny thing, because they become unshiny pretty quick, don't they? Verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. And so, Paul is an apostle, one of the apostles, one of those sent out, and specifically for him, he had some clarity on certain things. And one was, he would not go intentionally somewhere where there was already, well, a place like Rome. He hadn't been to Rome. He desired to visit them, but that work was started by someone not named Paul. We don't know who. And he had clarity that the Lord was sending him to those who had not heard, and that he was to share the simple message of the gospel. Does that mean everybody has that call or that direction? No. I think what's important is Paul had clarity on this. And clarity that this is what the Lord desired of him. And so, for us, have we heard? Have you heard from the Lord as to his direction, his plan for you, specifically as it regards to his kingdom, that the things which we are called to boast in, if you will, the things that are of Christ? And I strongly believe that this is something for every follower of Christ. God has a plan for every one of us. It doesn't look the same for everybody. The mission field, if you will, or the circle we serve in is not exactly the same for all of us. Some may go far, far away. Many of us probably right where God is. Well, right where God has put us, he has something for us. If he directs us to be somewhere else, that also is good. But Paul had clarity on what the Lord asked of him. And we know he didn't always get it right, but he did seek the Lord. And where the Lord had to change up the plan a bit, as we know, Paul desired to go to Rome. He would go to Rome. I doubt he planned it out that he would go the way he went. I'm sure he didn't. It was a free trip, but he went as a prisoner. And he stayed in prison, right? So he had the sense, I have a desire to be in Rome. But the road looked a little different, I'm sure, than he envisioned. But back to the main point here. Have we heard from the Lord? Are we asking him? What's your plan for me? How can I serve you here? And that's why I made the distinction, minister, servant. Don't think that ministering is for the ministers, if you will, those who have that role. We are servants, and we're all called to serve as the Lord directs. Verse 22. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. So, as mentioned, Paul's type of ministry kept him from a place like Rome. But we see here, he planned to go to Spain and was thinking, well, if I'm going to Spain, I can kind of duck in. Not that it would be that easy, but I can drop in, see you guys in Rome, be an encouragement, be encouraged, and carry on to Spain. So we know he did go to Rome, not his plan, as a prisoner. But it was a pioneering type ministry still, if you will, because he was part of the prison ministry in Rome from the inside. Yeah, whether it was fellow prisoners or the guards or whoever it might be, Paul would share his faith, share the good news of Jesus there, until such time he was martyred. 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed that they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So Paul was, at that time, taking up a collection for those in Jerusalem who were in desperate need. He was doing this amongst the Gentile churches. And so he makes a point here. This is a good thing, because as they have received from the Jewish people, from the church in Jerusalem, so they should give back what they can. And so they weren't in a position, the position wasn't for them to go back to Jerusalem and teach them or send missionaries there, kind of thing, if you will. But one thing they could do was help them in simple material things, like, you're hungry, you have need, here's an offering, a collection that can be taken back to address those needs. So the principle here is, it's good to care for those that you have received from spiritually. And sometimes it can be easy to forget about them as we carry on in our journey, kind of thing. But it's a good reminder. Verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Notice Paul's prayer request here. That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So Paul was not too proud to ask for prayer. Yeah, we all need prayer. Who of us ever gets to a place where we don't need that? And so here's an example from Paul in this area. He makes a request. One, deliverance from enemies. I mean, he was doing a good thing going to Jerusalem with this collection, or with, as he calls it, fruit, but offering. And we see, I mean, Paul had a strong desire to go to Jerusalem at this point, but I mean, he was warned, you know, your enemies will be after you. But he went anyways. He felt it was God's will that he go, so he did. But he asked for deliverance, that he would be able to carry out what the Lord had directed him to do, and that, you know, he asked for a prayer that it would be acceptable. So I take from that his prayer is that he would do things, he would do and would have done things in a manner acceptable to the Lord and therefore acceptable to those he was going to minister to. And that's a great prayer to pray ourselves, isn't it? That what we are doing would be acceptable to the Lord and therefore acceptable to those that we are ministering to or serving, coming alongside. And we see again, he's got this strong desire to see these saints in Rome. He would be able to visit them. So a love of the saints, and I see it's distressing to see, and we live in an age with all the technology and stuff, so easy to get information and give information, but it's so easy to find something that does not look like love for the saints from saints, right? Like a lot of attack and running people down publicly. Paul very much had a love. Anyone who is a saint, a child of God, as I read scripture, Paul had a love for that person. Didn't mean he didn't correct some of them very strongly, very strongly. But yet there was a love for them. So we are called to love one another. So, but wrapping up here, he asks that they would strive with him in prayer. And this is important. The idea is of an athlete giving his or her all. Colossians 4:12 uses the word as, in that scripture, wrestling in prayer. So think effort, think not casual, but so pray for me, strive in it, like really take this is serious, seriously pray about this. And so there's an encouragement to us when we pray to be serious about it, dig in, not demanding of God, not telling God what to do, but committing to the fact that we are before our God, his throne is open, and it is more than just a casual thing, but we come with some urgency, some depth to our prayers, like this is important enough to me that I'll spend the time before you, not just throwing it out there to see what might happen and carrying on in my own strength if I don't get what I want, kind of thing. And when it comes to others, really interceding, it's like there's some sweat put into it, kind of idea, right? Like to the best of our ability. Through Jesus, through the love of the Spirit, so through Christ, because we are his, and through the power of the Spirit, interceding for one another. So, as we wrap up this morning, just a couple of the highlights. Paul had a ministry he served in such a way that grace was highlighted. The gospel was emphasized. It was the main thing. He knew who he served. It was God, not himself. He knew who was to get the glory, and in fact, he actually got excited when God got the glory. It wasn't begrudged. He knew the power source was the Spirit, not himself. And in all that, he had confidence that as he sought the Lord and heard from the Lord, he could take steps. In fact, his whole course in life was set based on God's direction for him. So, lots there for us to consider and bring before the Lord. And I encourage you to do so. Bring it before the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to take from his word, from the word of God, and impress upon each one of us just what he is saying to us, specific to who we are and where he has put us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Your grace is amazing. And we experience an abundance of it. I pray that we would have an awareness of that, even when times are hard. And Lord, I pray that you would give us hope. I pray we would receive our direction from you. Lord, help us to be Christ-centered, gospel-centered people and share your truth, both with those who do not know, who have not heard it, and also with each other, that we might encourage one another. And as your word says, do so all the more as we see the day approaching, that day of your return. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.